Irish Radio Network USA. Elaine Chinton Mother Hinton Fane. An expression that we grew up with. Basically, what it means is there's no fireplace like your own. And like your own fireplace. Well, there's no county, as many would attest to, now in my 46th year of broadcast. It doesn't take that much of an excuse for me to welcome people from Mayo. And we have the cream of the crop today, as I welcome a couple of people from Mayo, starting with the chairman on Cahilla of Mayo County Council, Michael Holmes. And Michael, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Let's start off now with where are you from?
Well, I'm from Newport in the west of the county,
yeah.
Between Newport and Mulroney, out in that beautiful place.
That's why you have the good, that's why you're all dolled up. And I'll tell you, there's money in your part of the country, that's for sure.
Well, there probably is. I never found it, but I presume it's there.
Right, you're doing all right.
But it's, we're certainly living in a beautiful part of the county, but indeed all of Mayo is a beautiful county.
Yeah, I've been saying that for anybody that's listened to me since the day I came to the town. Now, tell us, though, about, give us an overview of Mayo. And you will, friends, understand that this is a non-biased opinion and is in no way influenced by myself. Tell us, Michael.
Well, I know that, Adrian, and yes, it's a fabulous county. I have lived in it all my life, so I have seen different changes, you know, a lot of changes over the last 60-odd years, and at the moment, I feel that Mayo is in a good place. It's very successful as far as the tourism is concerned. You know, the tourism figures are up. Where I live between Newport and Mulroney, as we said, there is right bang on in the middle of the county, if you like.
Yes.
I live in the middle of the great Western Greenway, which is known far and wide. It's known all over the world at this stage. A very, very popular cycleway that has been developed over the last number of years, which I suppose I'll claim a fair bit of credit for, because it happened under my watch, and it happened, I suppose, a lot of it through my land. It's going through the property of 170 landowners, and we had to get permissive access from all of those, which was, we feel, a wonderful achievement. Probably one of the best pieces of infrastructure the county has had.
Now, tell us about it. Describe it for us.
Well, it's the old railway line that runs from Westport to Acton, that has a lot of history, even in its days of being active. But it was closed down in 1937 and just lay there and became overgrown and derelict, and you know, was a kind of a bit of wasteland in some cases. But in some areas, it had been developed by landowners and that, and has gone right through the middle of their property, you know. But it has been developed. We decided 6 years ago to develop it into Greenway. And Mayo County Council, along with national funding, decided to put their shoulder to the wheel. And it was, an adventurous type of a project, if you like, and scary, because we're proposing to spend about 8 to 9 million on it, you know, and to be proposing to spend 8 to 9 million on a derelict railway line would leave a lot of questions, you know. So,
yes.
Lucky enough, it was successful, and we're happy with that, because our heads were on the block, if you like. But I think it's probably the greatest piece of infrastructure that has happened in my lifetime in County Mayo.
Now, how when you say Greenway, what is it?
Well, as I say, it's the old railway line, which the council developed. They cleaned it up. They removed all the scrub and all the stuff that was on it. And
that was a job and a half.
It is fantastic. Yeah. They put a fabulous cycle surface on it, you know, and fenced it off on either sides and made a fantastic job of it, you know. And now they're in the process of maybe installing toilets and lay-bys and, picnic areas and all of that, you know. And
yeah, incredible.
You know, installing little offshoots off of where people can get off and on, you know. But it's creating, I suppose, something in the region of maybe between part-time and full-time. It's creating maybe in the region of 200 jobs, you know. And an awful lot of those jobs are in the bike hire.
Yes.
As you can imagine, plus the local restaurants, coffee shops, hotels, all of that, they're all will tell you quite clearly that they're employing extra staff.
Yeah. What is the how long is it? What's the
it's 47 kilometres, 27 miles.
27 miles.
Yes.
God, that's terrific.
And it's all practically all off road, or it will eventually. But also, you know, that's not the only thing. We have now established, of course, along the western seaboard, the Wild Atlantic Way that goes from Malinhead in Donegal right down to Cork to Waterford. And again, we're bang on in the middle of it in Mayo, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Fairly central, you know, and it's bringing in an awful lot of tourists and an awful lot of places along the coast that maybe wouldn't have been doing that awful well, like Ballycastle, Belmullet, all of that area,
yeah,
and on into Achill, Westport, Lewisburg. You know, they now see the fruits of the efforts, and again, it's an ongoing project, and it will be upgraded and improved as time goes on, and there's funding being made available. Of course, we're maybe in the happy position that we have the Minister for Tourism, Michael Ring, bang on in Westport, you know, and there's never a hair on having a minister or a Taoiseach.
That's for sure.
So, from that point of view, we're very happy, you know.
Let me ask you, Michael, about some other projects that, before we bring on Peter Hines, the Chief Executive, the Mayo County Manager. What other projects, other than the major ones which we'll talk to Peter about, but there are a number of projects and a number of advances in Mayo that seem to have just generated and in fact have, you know, you're on a roll in Mayo, and have been for particularly in the last few years.
Well, yes, Mayo is on the up, I would say. You know, I mean, there's everything is not perfect in it, but we're certainly going, I would say, in the right direction. And we had the which Peter will talk on there, I'm sure, the fibre optic cable coming ashore in Killala, and the start up there of the renewable energy plant there in Killala, which is again creating a lot of employment, and
yes,
there's a lot of progress happening and a lot of good things that we feel are on the way and maybe around the corner. So hopefully there's in the next year or two things are going to steadily improve, and we will hopefully end up making Mayo a much better county. It is a great county. It's open for business, as you know, and everybody is very welcome there. And I think that, of course, the main, I suppose, one of the most important things in Mayo is Knock Airport.
Yes.
Which, again, is going very well. And only there earlier this year, we had our first transatlantic flight in from New York. 170 or 180 pilgrims in under, along with Colonel Dolan, and they spent a lot of their week around Mayo, and they travelled to the other parts of the country as well, but they all went back very happy, and it was very successful, and we would hope that would be only the start of many more. But Knock Airport is so vital to not alone Mayo, but to all the other counties in the west of Ireland, you know.
Absolutely. And Cahirla, Chairman, Mayo County Council, Michael Holmes. Peter Hines, our friends, who is the Chief Executive of Mayo County Council, and we would have to say that through the years, Peter has always been, first of all, a very welcome guest on our program, and I think most people would have to give credit indeed to a carpetbagger from County Galway who came in to run the county of Mayo. And it says a lot about how broad-minded we are. But Peter, anyway, you're very welcome.
Adrian, as always, it's a pleasure to be in the company of Mayo people. And,
Listen,
as a carpetbagger, and to demonstrate the generosity that Galwegians always have done when they voyage across the water and even farther afield when they voyage into the foreign territory of Mayo, may we make a little presentation, because
yeah.
I think as a symbol of what you've been talking about with the Cathaoirleach and the effort that have been made to regenerate and rejuvenate and reinvent Mayo over the last 4 or 5 years, I think the Mayo.ie pin, which we'd like you to wear with pride as a Mayo man,
I will definitely
is a very important symbol of what we've been at.
I have to tell you that you gave me one, I believe it was at Knock, and a fellow Mayo man, somebody that I trusted for many the long year, admired the pin and wanted me to let him show it around. I haven't seen him since, or the pin. So this is very special indeed to me.
And the reason that we think it's important is that I've had the privilege of being, and all joking aside, it's a huge privilege to do the job that I do in County Mayo. For the past 3 years, I've been there for five, we've put an enormous emphasis on enterprise and investment and getting jobs and getting the economy moving again. So we established an enterprise and investment unit, which, as you know, has been led by Joanne Grant, who's now our Director of Services.
Yes, indeed.
And the whole Mayo.ie, the reinvention of the image of Mayo, and the move away from the old thing of Mayo, God help us, to Mayo, we are going to win, Mayo, we're going to do, Mayo, we're going to deliver. That's all part of the message that Joanne and her team have been promoting, and a lot of the success comes from that change in mindset that we're trying to introduce.
Yeah, and it. I was trying to get Cathaoirleach Michael Holmes to brag a bit about the last few years and the number of amazing advances that indeed have been made. Because there are some who would be bold enough, cheeky enough, to assume that there is some connection. You know, Michael Ring, as a Mayo man who of great distinction, and then we have the Taoiseach. Who is from Castlebar. And it would be, definitely I wouldn't tread into the area of saying there's any connection whatsoever, just because we have the Taoiseach, and then because we have, the Minister, Michael Ring. But having said that, Mayo has had a tremendous amount of investment that we can't possibly associate with our good fortune in having the distinguished gentleman that I just mentioned, but a lot of great things have actually happened in Mayo, and I'd like to start. Chief Executive and Mayo County Manager, I would like really to start with the Atlantic Cable, the new Atlantic Cable, and where exactly it's at for the moment. First of all, who decided? I know you were plugging for many a long year, as indeed the Chairman was. Tell us how.
Well, to go back to basics, the cable came about back in 2011, just after I'd taken over the job. We looked at the whole fibre optic broadband situation in the county, and it's one of the key areas of concern. If you don't have broadband in the current century, you're really not at the races, and it is pretty much as simple as that. And broadband means fibre. So we were looking at how we could get fibre along the gas pipeline duct. And working with the Western Development Commission, we established a little project team, and we became aware of a plan to take a cable across the Atlantic, around the North Coast and into Southport in England. And we approached the developers and we invited them to come ashore in Mayo, bring the cable ashore, bring it along the gas pipeline into Dublin and across the country to save them time and money and to obviously improve connectivity for ourselves. They took about a month to look at it, and then they came back and said yes, they were going to do it. And with great assistance from government, from the Department of Communications, Energy, Natural Resources, and support from the Taoiseach, we have gotten to the stage. There were ups and downs and runs about for 4 years, where the cable actually came ashore in August of this year. The Taoiseach was there to welcome it ashore. The cable is laid practically complete across the Atlantic as we speak. There were three ships involved in laying 4,500 miles, 5,500 kilometres thereabouts of cable. It's an investment of about $300 million. It has some of the biggest names in telecommunications on the planet involved in backing it. And it is just going to transform connectivity into the island. It's the first cable that's been laid on the Atlantic in 17 years. And at peak, when it's up full tilt, it will double the existing capacity of the Atlantic, and it comes through our backyard. It will be lit at the end of the year or in early January. Physical work is nearing completion. The actual installation and the transmission equipment will start in December. And it is just going to be transformative.
And it also, obviously, the fact that this is going to be the port of call, as it were, and that this fibre optic cable will actually is able to service Europe, most of Europe. It's just an incredible advance, and one that that I know will be very welcome on both sides of the Atlantic. What a tremendous, you know, advance that is, when you figure that very few businesses can operate in the United States or indeed throughout Europe without the fiber optic cable. This is major.
It's a very, very major step forward. And the key thing, and we get asked about, you know, is this going to just pass through the county? Is it going to be something that's not going to benefit the county? The key thing is that it comes ashore in Killala. The landing station is on the old Asahi, the former Asahi site, where the power plant has just started work as well, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But it's the first breakout point on our side of the Atlantic. So as a stepping stone from the two biggest financial markets in the globe, or two of the biggest in the globe, on the east coast of the States, if you take New York and all of the east coast, you take Frankfurt, London, Paris, that whole triangle, this is a key stepping stone between those two, and Killala is the first breakout point. So if you want to be milliseconds ahead of the game on the planet between those two markets, Killala is your place.
How about that? That didn't go unbeknownst to New York native Jerry Crotty, who indeed had been talking for a number of years and trying very hard to convince investors that a biomass power plant, which conservatively speaking will cost about $200 million. The connection is incredible. That we have that both of those come in.
I think the opportunity which it has opened up for Mayo and for the country in many ways is just it doesn't bear thinking about. And as I said, when the foundation stone was laid back in September by the Taoiseach with Jerry there, obviously, he's been 10 years on this project.
Right.
Lesser people would have folded tent and walked away long, long since. He came across many hurdles, many obstacles. He overcame them all because he had a steely determination that this was going to happen in Ireland, it was going to happen in Mayo, and it was going to happen on his watch. suggested that if there was an award, a biblical award for the patience of Job in one of the business awards, any time in the next 3 or 4 years, he should pick it up.
And I can tell you that he's racking up enough awards here for the moment. Maybe you should stand back and let a few of those go to somebody else. But it's a great story. A biomass power plant, what is that?
Basically, biomass is anything that is material that you can grow. Peat is biomass, but obviously grown on a very, very, very long time scale. It generally would apply to timber.
Yes.
Or miscanthus, or grass, or any of the, you know, easily,
right.
Willow, one of the easily grown organic agricultural materials. The plant in Killala is, in the initial phases, it's designed to be fueled by timber from the United States. But one of the most exciting things about it is, and it will take, the estimates are about $28 million a year to fuel the plant. The challenge is to Northwest Ireland to produce material to replace that imported material. And if we can do that, if we can substitute the feedstock for the plant, there's an extra $20 to $30 million a year that could be literally plowed into the local economy, keep farmers on the land, help supplement it. Won't obviously make careers and get people back to farming on the large scale, but it will certainly supplement the incomes of small farmers in marginal land, because willow is the material that would be grown, and as you know, willow will grow in you know, marginal land where other crops won't. So there's huge opportunity across that front as well. And the biggest thing is that when you put a power plant and you put a fiber optic cable and you put them cheek by jowl, the options on ICT, on data centres, and on all of the related industries are just, it has given us a calling card which has global attention.
Absolutely. Michael had mentioned there about the direct flight from New York to Ireland West Airport, Knock, County Mayo, led by Cardinal Dolan. We were privileged to be on that flight, and indeed we were indeed well greeted with the great Falcha at Knock Airport. For those of us who came from the west of Ireland, we will always know it as Knock, great place of pilgrimage, and it hosts one of the few basilicas in Europe. I mean, you can have cathedrals and you can have churches and magnificent churches, but a basilica is something that is amazing. And there was nothing wrong, believe me, with the basilica that indeed was first established because of a papal visit, except it got old and tired, and but the transformation
hasn't it been a fantastic
not
makeover?
Even sunk in yet.
And Father Richard Gibbons deserves huge, huge credit and plaudits for what
Absolutely.
Has been delivered there in the last 2 years since the construction began. I think the investment is of the order of $10 million, and they're not quite finished yet. There's another major artwork to go at the back of the altar, but it has transformed the place. It is it's an absolute joy to walk into at this stage, and it has absolutely, I think, brought it to the kind of standard that we would aspire to in Mayo as being a world leader in anything that we do, and that's what we want to do.
We have spoken many times before, and indeed, again, I think many of my listeners would know that our former Mayor Mike Bloomberg was very involved in getting the past a few hurdles and a few big blockages in getting direct flights from the U.S. To Knock Airport. and in fact had made three trips during that period to Knock itself. The whole idea of getting direct flights from the U.S. To Ireland West Airport in Knock in County Mayo seemed like a very far-fetched probability. But you can, and I think we all know, that this was a very special direct flight. It was special in a couple of manners. First of all, obviously, being led by Cardinal Dolan of New York, but it was also the first time that Aer Lingus had made a direct flight from New York and to Ireland West, Ireland West Airport. The initial direct flight generated a tremendous buzz and plans for at least another four charters coming up in 1916, and very serious talks about you know, direct flights from the U.S. into Ireland West and Knock.
Well, as you know, and the actual connectivity is hugely important, and the symbolic nature of a direct connection from the U.S. back into Ireland West Airport Knock would be just, it would be such a big fillip for the whole region. And the four charters this year under the flag of the national carrier would be hugely important. Cardinal Dolan's pilgrimage was more like an expedition. It was almost like a conquering hero came down the steps in the airport on that particular trip, and it was tremendously memorable. But the four charters this year would be important, and the work of getting direct flights in is evolving. It's continuing. It's not easy. But there is definitely a market there to do it. Like Globespan proved that the market exists. It's only a question of getting the right set of circumstances lined up. And on the airport front, I think probably there are two or three things that are coming up, because the fiber optic cable is pretty much delivered, the power station is delivered, we need to build around that. But we've been talking about collaboration in the region for quite some time, and the collaboration between the seven local authorities who are coming together to take an equity stake in the airport, and that's advancing, is a sign of where the West is going. And while we may joke and maybe even seriously talk about the friendly rivalry between counties, and that's important because the county Jersey is important at a certain stage, at another stage we are all of the West and we need to work together, and that's what's happening. We've just come from the start of a collaboration in Rhode Island, and we're looking for the six counties in the West to establish a base, a stepping stone for businesses into the US through Rhode Island. And we're also going to see the first meeting of the Mayo Foundation, and we're continuing work on the Mary Robinson Centre. So there are things beyond the fibre optic cable and the power station, and the story for Mayo is continuing.
You know, though, before we leave the possibility, the probability at some point of direct flights from the U.S. to Ireland West Knock Airport, I think many of our listeners would like to hear about the success of Ireland West Airport of Knock, which is phenomenal, even without our goal, which of course would be to have direct flights.
Well, even without the direct flights, and like I say, work to get those scheduled direct flights, and we don't need, you know, 10 flights a day. If we had two or three flights a week, it would make a phenomenal difference from this part of the world. And I believe that it will happen. It's only a question of how long, and the sooner the better. But even without that, the effect which the airport has had, and last year was its most successful year to date, 715,000 passengers passed through the airport. It has meant that instead of being an inaccessible recess, we have direct connectivity to 16 destinations in Europe. and we have two flights a day into London. And that is really, really important when you're promoting, not just for tourism, but for business connections. It means that you can be within 40 minutes of the best locations on the World Atlantic Way, from the heart of England, from the heart of Europe, with direct flights. And the effect and the benefits of the airport on the regional economy can't be overstated. It really is as important as that.
You know, there are a couple of things. First of all, the success of the dedicated website mayo.ie, and another phenomenally successful inaugural Mayo Day initiative, which took place earlier this year. Even without the benefit of the fibre optic cable from Shirley in New York, and the all of the other great stuff that is happening, the website, you got to jump on the website, and like everything else, you didn't have rules and regulations book to develop that, as with the Mayo Day initiative. And I think that perhaps you'd tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I spoke earlier about the Enterprise and Investment Unit and the drive to get jobs and investment into the county, and the leadership of Joanne Graham in that unit. And it is the unit that takes the credit for the reinvention of the Mayo.ie, the logo and the branding and the pin, which I for those who can't see, for the listeners, it is now very comfortably sitting on a lapel beside a blue and white tie of a very elegant Mayo man at the microphone opposite me, and looks really well. And the whole confidence which a modern logo and a modern branding and a modern mindset brings to the county has been really important, and will be even more important as we move forward. The website, the idea of the website was to make it possible for the Mayo family to be connected very effectively and very simply and very easily using modern technology. And for those who haven't logged on, log on, have a look. There's a page for basically all of the communities around the globe, because we think of Mayo as not just being the 130,000 people who are at home. We think of Mayo as being 3.5 million people with Mayo DNA in different locations all over the globe. Some have very strong communities, some are growing communities, and some are long-established communities. But when they were given a chance to demonstrate what the Mayo mindset, the Mayo attitude could do last year for the Mayo, the inaugural Mayo Day, I mean, who would have thought that you could ever see the Niagara Falls lit in red and green for the day?
That's for sure. I would like to bring on this fellow who simply would not go away. He has come up with more ideas, and when, in fact, Mike Hannon was speaking to us about the prospect of a Mayo Foundation, we kind of thought that perhaps there were enough foundations. And that this was something that might be a nice idea, but we needed spelled out. And I know you're going to tell us about it, Peter, anyway.
Again, part of the reason we're in New York just this evening is for the first meeting of the Mayo Foundation tomorrow. And again, it's an idea that's come out of Joanne's work with the Enterprise and Investment Unit. And it's about finding a tool. It's part of the same thinking, connection, support of communities. You know, the four words that we use about the Mayo, that we want to build sustainable, inclusive, globally inclusive, prosperous, and proud. And that means that you support people all over the globe with Mayo Causes, Mayo DNA, and the foundation is a derivation of that thinking, and Joanne and Mike have put an enormous amount of work into getting it to the starting post.
Let's welcome indeed Mike Hannon, Project Manager for Mayo Foundation, and Mike, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you, Adrian.
A lot of us have to eat some crow because, you know, in the beginning, when you were trotting out this idea, we said, well, you know, we have a Mayo Foundation, we have the Edouard Cheshire Home, we have obviously the Mayo Societies. We're very well represented. But the idea and the notion that you had, Mike, is one which is come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, we are aware, as you rightly say, Adrian, of the fantastic goodwill that Mayo people constantly demonstrate in reaching out to the county and in supporting Mayo causes like the Mary Robbins Foundation, the hospice, Western Alzheimer's, and this has been going on for years. And we're very conscious of the fantastic work that the Mayo societies and associations across the United States do for the county. But my and Joanne's thoughts around this was that there would be great merit in structuring this in a way that brought all of these together and created a foundation where the donor could get full tax relief in accordance with the IRS legislation here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, we've come up with the plan to incorporate the County Mayo Foundation, which is now incorporated as a company in New York State with a board of directors drawn from Mayo people in the United States, and which also includes the county manager and will always include the county manager of Mayo as the director. But it is very much an initiative which is coming from Mayo County Council in response to outreach and goodwill from the diaspora.
You know, much as we would like to think that Mayo, that from once you leave Mayo and you come to New York and maybe then to Cleveland, that this is the profile of the Mayo diaspora, and nothing. Of course, it's great to know that. So, and in no small way, due to the Mayo.ie website, but Mayo people manage somehow to get to other places around the world, obviously, as well.
They do, and the diaspora. And one of the great advantages of having this structured foundation is the fact, and also the developing use of social media, the changing profile of fundraising, where the young generation and the new immigrant and the young diaspora are looking at different ways of reaching back to the county. So we will be using a very effective, through the Mayo.ie website, we will be using a platform where essentially organizations, and we're covering four pillars of activity in the county. The foundation as a structure will support community projects across County Mayo. It will support existing charities in the county. It can support sporting bodies, and also it will support education. And it will be structured with a very strong governance. As I said, we've got a board, but with very strong oversight at home in Ireland. So only registered Irish charities or local community organisations in County Mayo that are complying fully with legislation, filing their accounts, etc., will have access to the Mayo.ie website, where they will load their project, their portal. So to that extent, the foundation will have credibility, and it will have very, very strong governance, and that gives confidence to donors that their money is being properly used and applied.
And we will We'll talk about this at another time. The launch is extremely laudable, and but as we go along, we will, I'm sure, from once this gets off the ground, it is going to have legs, and it is going to be it is going to be something that, again, despite those of us who are wondering whether something like that was ever going to get off the ground, I mean, I always knew it was, but I want to apologize for those who said, Jesus, Mike Hannon, would he ever get on to something that we absolutely need? And you did.
Well, you see, I've constantly been outreaching, looking for members of the Sligo diaspora, and everywhere I go, I can't meet anyone. But the key to what I know, a man from Mayo.
Yeah.
In fact, the only reference to Sligo I've come across is apparently there's a dog owned by the drug squad at NYPD, a sniffer dog. He's one of the most successful sniffer dogs. He's managed by a guy from Ballina. So we have that.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what Adrian would, if Lenny would have known that story. There you are.
Listen, I only get lash scale. I only get half stories, and that's what you get. From, you know.
So yeah. We're not. I mean, on this visit, we are having the first board meeting. We're marking the incorporation of the foundation.
Right.
We will have a much more significant launch next year.
You know, before friends, we. Bring on our next guest from the Mary Robinson Centre. I do want to ask Peter Hines about, it seems like there is the activity that's going on in New York this week without a sporting event, getting Mayo and Galway and Galwegians in the same town at the same time is something. So here's your chance, actually, Peter, to give some recognition to your native county. That's before you had to give up your green card from Galway and come to Mayo, where you should have been in the first place. But tell us about the association, first of all, between Mayo and Galway, which is very strong.
Well, look, as I said earlier, there are times when the county jersey has got to be worn, needs to be worn, and needs to be worn with pride, and it needs to be worn with effort, and it needs to be worn with, you know, dedication, above, you know, up to and including physical contact on occasion, on the sporting pitch, of course, not off it. But in terms of the relationship between Galway and Mayo, once we get out into the wider world, we need to be seen as a region. And one of the great assets that Galway brings to the table is the university in Galway.
Absolutely.
And all of the tradition of education that goes back for over 200 years at this stage into the city of Galway. And where we have the GMIT campus in Castlebar, and we work very closely with GMIT.
Right.
The university is really important to us as well. And one of the projects that we're collaborating on, and it leads very nicely, I think, into your next guest, is the Mary Robinson Centre. So the foundation in Galway, the NUIG Foundation, is here. They have a fundraising event this evening. We've been invited to be guests at it, and we're very, very pleased to be here for that. We have our own event tomorrow, the first meeting of the foundation, which Joanne and Mike have put so much effort into getting us to this stage, and then looking forward, we will have the Mary Robinson Centre, which is one of the key projects that we'd be pushing, and NUIG are a very big partner in that. So the collaboration, working together, doesn't mean that there'll be any more leeway given between Galway and Mayo in any competition, sporting or otherwise, into the future. But the collaboration is really important, and when you get abroad and you see the kind of services that our government provides,
yes,
and the fact that we're being hosted at the consulate tomorrow by by one of our nationalists, it's just
Barbara Jones, indeed,
a very, very generous gesture. We'd like to thank her and the staff and the government, obviously, for making that invitation tomorrow, and we're really looking forward to the event.
When you have a good story to tell, and you do, and you've had a lot of very positive advances I think it's only appropriate, and it's not taking anything away from the generosity of the Consul General of Ireland, Barbara Jones, but you have a lot, there's a lot of good work and good news, and hitting the diaspora, no better place to start, I think, than right here in New York.
Absolutely, and that's why the Big Apple was chosen for the first meeting, and we look forward to it growing from strength to strength from tomorrow.
The Mary Robinson Centre, friends, in Ballina, in County Mayo, for those who might have visited Mayo, and again my hometown of Ballina, we would, the fact that Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, came from Ballina, has actually made, in addition to her being the first female President of Ireland, her influence and has become worldwide. She is an icon above and beyond all icons. Let me welcome Susan Heffernan. And Susan, first of all, you're very welcome. Tell me about the notion of the Mary Robinson Centre to begin with.
Well, the Mary Robinson Centre will be Ireland's first presidential library. And I think in your programme here today, we've heard lots of stories about first things that have happened in Mayo and groundbreaking things that are happening at the moment in Mayo. And this is another one of those. It's the first time in Ireland that we build a presidential library, and it's being built in County Mayo. So I suppose really what we're doing is we have this lady from Ballina who is a trailblazer and still is a trailblazer.
Yeah.
And she did some damn fine work. So sitting around talking about it, the people in her hometown realised that she had a fine archive of material for almost 50 years worth of work, and somebody somewhere was going to ask her for that archive, and wouldn't it be nicer for it to go to her home people? So they had a conversation with Mary, and she said, absolutely, my home place is exactly where I would like my archive to go. So Mary is donating her archive to the people of Mayo, and it will go be held in custody by Mayo County Council for the people of Mayo, and it will be housed in her family home, Victoria House, directly opposite the cathedral in Ballina, which you know very well, and it will become a museum and an educational centre in collaboration with Mayo County Council and NUI Galway, and it will look at things like human rights, women's leadership, gender equality, the issues that Mary has been championing all her life.
You know, and my guest is Susan Heffernan. It struck me there when you were saying that there is not a presidential library in Ireland. Is that?
That's the case. There is a museum for Douglas Hyde,
right?
And UCD holds the papers for a number of previous presidents, but there's no. There's no library in that you would consider a library like the US presidential libraries. So Mary's story and the work that she's done and the setting that we have there, it really gives us a unique opportunity to create something that's really special. And I think when we create it in collaboration with Mary, that gives us that little bit of West of Ireland magic that Mary has to make it something very, very special. So I think what we're creating there is something that's going to be phenomenally exciting for the town of Ballina, the people in that town, and for the people who will come from all over the world. As you rightly said, Mary's known around the world for the great things that she's done. And those people will come to Ballina to learn about human rights. They'll come to study from her archive. And we have a phenomenal opportunity to deliver something really, really special there. And it's a really exciting project to be part of, knowing that this is ahead of us and this is the future that we're creating in Ballina.
How far ahead is the project?
We're about halfway up the mountain at this stage, Adrian. It's the total value of the project is just under €8.5 million. So we're fundraising some of that money philanthropically, and we have commitment from the government and from Mayo County Council as well. So we have a small amount of money, just under €1 million, to raise. After Christmas, the intention is that we will start the redevelopment of Victoria House and the construction of the new build academic wing that goes beside it. In tandem, we will start digitising Mary's Archive. To give you a sense of what that involves, Mary's Archive is over 500 boxes of archival material, so there's almost 500,000 pieces of paper. It will take 3 people 2 years to digitise all of that material.
Oh my God.
But when it's done, everything from her days as a senator right up to today will be available on a website for people to get into and to access instantaneously. So it's a phenomenal, really precious resource that we can offer to students and researchers.
Website, how to get information?
The website for the Mary Robinson Centre is maryrobinsoncentre.ie. The centre hopes to open in 2017, so around mid-2017 it will be open to the public. But then in advance of that, because Mary's a very feisty lady who likes to get things done, we said we would take her approach, and we have lots of events and activities happening in Ballina, around Mayo, and around the world.
Absolutely.
So people should log on to our website for some more information, or sign up to our newsletter, and that way they'll hear everything that happens.
Now, what I do want to point out, friends, is the website Mary Robinson Centre. Centre with the European spelling of the Irish spelling of C-E-N-T-R-E. And it's not .com, it's .ie. So it's Mary Robinson Centre .ie. And Susan, again, you're very welcome here. And I know that there are probably a great number of people who would be, you know, pretty much shocked, since the first thing a president in the United States does before he puts on his waistcoat to leave is the establishment of a presidential library. So, I mean, this is great.
That's right. And I think Mary transformed the presidency when she became president 25 years ago. And I think in doing this, what she's doing is she's transforming the idea of a presidential legacy in Ireland and creating something very meaningful out of what happens after the presidency. So I think it's very fitting that she would be first to develop a presidential library.
My guest, friends, and I do know that the chairman, the Cathaoirleá of Mayo County Council, Michael Holmes, is indeed somebody who is indeed acknowledged as a tremendous leader. And I noticed that you're just pouring away there, Cathaoirleá, as well you should. Peter Hines, Mayo County Manager, Chief Executive of Mayo County Council, and Susan Heffernan, of course, and of course, and Mike Hannon. The best way, friends, to get information about Mayo, about any of the great, not just the beauty of Mayo, but opportunities indeed for investment and for support of indeed the centres like the Mary Robinson Centre. And now, of course, the establishment of the Mayo Foundation. If you go to mayo.ie, all the links are there. Am I right, Peter?
You are indeed. And we would encourage everyone who's interested in anything to do with Mayo to get onto the site, keep an eye on what's happening. Even if you don't do it every day or every week, if you do dip in, at least you know what's happening. You know what's happening in your home place, you know what's happening in the county, and you'll also know what's happening in Mayo communities around the world. And Mayo is one of the most exciting places, one of the most exciting counties, one of the most exciting emerging brands as we see it. And why wouldn't you want to be part of it? Adrian, thank you very much for the opportunity to share some of the message today. As always, it's been a great pleasure.
Thanks to all of you and friends. Again, I am never embarrassed about plugging my home county, but I have now after decades in New York and broadcasting on this side of the Atlantic, I don't think I've ever been had occasion to be as proud as not only I am, but I know that the tremendous support of the Mayo immigrants from on this side of the Atlantic and their families is something that is coming to fruition. It's great. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.